Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. For youth in North Florida, thank you for returning to this broadcast today that we might study the Word of God together and discover things within it that will set our souls on fire. If you are listening by computer anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, we welcome you today, brothers and sisters in Jesus. And if you're listening because you have visited our website and downloaded recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, we welcome you today, wherever you are, however you are hearing this broadcast today. Amen. We are so glad that you have joined with us. We don't believe that it is an accident. We believe it is a spiritual directed incident where God is bringing His people around His Word to challenge us, to change us, to equip us to minister in these last closing days. Praise God, and not to be discouraged, but to be encouraged and to run this race with a deep commitment like we have never run before. Praise God. I'm excited about getting in to a message that will challenge and change those who receive it today. And if you're not a Christian today, and you probably think we Christians are pretty strange ducks because the Bible did call us peculiar people in the New Testament, but it doesn't mean weird. It does mean that we are peculiar. We are a people that are washed in the blood of Jesus, that have come in to a covenant with Him through faith in His finished work at the cross. Hallelujah. And that makes us different in the sense that we are saved today, separated unto God. And friend of mine, we just want you to know why we're the way we are, why that we may seem weird, because you may not see yet why Christians are committed to Christ. What's in it for us? What's truly in it for us? I want you to understand why that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean we're all as dedicated as we should be. Doesn't mean we're all as sanctified or holy as we should be. There are mistakes that Christians make, and some of them are pretty big and pretty bad. But I want you to know, amen, that we are all running a race for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're not of them that turn back to perdition. We're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in just a moment, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles. And before we go, we would like to invite you to our website. There are sermons that span many, many years available there of ministry, our 38th year here in Tampa, Florida. And also there are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. You can join podcast and download sermons or these broadcast to an iPod or MP3 player and use it for your own personal edification or to reach other people with the gospel. Praise God. This is not something that we keep in some kind of private way to ourselves. It's something that we publish to be published. Praise God. The Bible says great is the company that published the gospel. And that's why the gospel, and this is why the gospel is going to the nations of the world. Jesus is coming soon. You know, the scripture said when this gospel of the kingdom is preached into all the world, then shall the end come. And I'm telling you, we're not a big church. We're not even a little church, hardly. We're a very small church. Always have been, comparatively. But I want you to know we serve a big God. And this is not about the size of the church. This is about the greatness of God. And we have determined and decided that we would not wait for a huge number of people in order to do the work that God commissioned. And that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus to every creature. Praise God. So wherever you are in the world, God has sent His word to you today. And we are so glad to be part of the great company of people who publish it. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. All right. We're going to be talking today about winning the race, receiving the crown. Come to our website. Let me, don't forget to give that to you. Just type in THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God. In here, we're based here in Tampa, Florida. I've been pastor here for, this is our 38th year we're working on. And God has blessed and is blessing after all of this time. Come visit us, peruse our website, download any of the inspirational sermons or editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, and let it be a blessing to someone else. Praise God. So take it to somebody else. Let's keep this gospel traveling to the nations and of the world and to people around the world. Praise God. We're part of something big that God Himself is doing. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Having said that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 9 as our foundational scripture in the event someone is hearing this single broadcast today. Before we go further, we want to lay the foundational scripture again. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, the Apostle Paul says, "Know ye not, they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you might obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it for a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest at any times when I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway." Paul uses the analogy of a race and the preparation and disciplines necessary to become a winner in a competition to impress upon Christians the importance of commitment to our Christian walk and to the reward that awaits those who persevere. And Paul likened our Christian life to a race that we must run and finish in order to be victorious. Friend, it's not about outrunning someone else, spiritually speaking. It's about running our race and finishing our course. It's enduring to the end. Praise God. The Bible said in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Praise God. All right, there's more to that, but let's move forward today. Last week we talked about a crown that would be given for finishing our course, and that crown is nothing less than the crown of life, and it represents eternal life. And today we're going to talk about the crown of righteousness here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 through 8. Listen to this. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love His appearing." Praise God. There's something about serving God effectively and consistently, and the second coming of Jesus, the soon coming of Jesus, amen, that are inextricably linked together. Paul said, amen, "I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. I'm going to be martyred, literally, the time of my departure, not my demise, but my departure is at hand. And henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me that the righteous judge himself will give me at that day. And not to me only, but all those that love his appearing." He's receiving the crown because he's fought a good fight. He's finished his course. He's kept the faith. But he said, everybody that loves his appearing is going to receive the same crown. That speaks powerfully to me, that living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus will keep us looking up instead of looking at the things of the world that distract us and tempt us and slow down our forward momentum and our progress and intrude on our Christian service so that we are not fruitful in the kingdom. God is calling every child of His to be about our Father's business. Amen. And to run with patience the race that's set before us. To get back the excitement. To get back the enthusiasm, to get back the devotion and the commitment, amen, and to develop the disciplines out of deep devotion that will allow us to run effectively for Jesus Christ. Praise God. It's appropriately called the crown of righteousness because it will be recompense for our service for the Lord. And keeping in view His soon coming. You know, He said, I'm coming and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his works shall be. I believe Jesus is coming soon, friend. And I want to be ready, not only in the sense that I am trusting in Him, my faith is in Him, I'm looking to Him and for Him, but I want to be ready in the sense that I'm living for Him every single day and looking for Him every single day. God's smile of approval will outshine the jewels and gold of the heavenly city itself. Praise God. Matthew 25 and verse 21 says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Heaven is not just about a place, friend. It's about a person that we're going to live with forever. And it's the joy of living with God and with Christ forever that is going to outshine the very jewels and bejeweled foundations and bejeweled gates of that holy, wonderful, golden, heavenly city. Praise God. The Bible said in His presence is fullness of joy. Did you know, with all of the beauty and grandeur of this place called heaven, without Jesus being there, we wouldn't find the satisfaction, the joy. I mean, you know, everything wears off after a while. You get a brand new car and it smells new and it looks new and you just love to just sit in it and drive it and smell it. Praise God. Amen. Then you leave an old milk carton or something underneath the seat and you track things in on your mats and all kind of things happen over time and that car loses its luster. Even if it stayed brand new after a while, it wouldn't be the big deal it was when you traded in that old clunker and got it. You'd take it for granted, but it's not the place. It is the person. And pleasing Jesus, hearing Jesus, who suffered for us and died on the cross, say, well done, good and faithful servant, is going to be, and to be in His presence forever is going to be the real joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, 7 through 11 brings forth this concept to us. Listen to it. For the earth which drinketh in the rain and that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them for whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from the Lord. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. Though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. That's exactly what Paul did. Amen. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hallelujah. And there's a crown laid up for me and everybody else that loves his appearing. Because if you're looking for the soon coming of Jesus, I'll guarantee you, if you really believe that, you're living in the light of his soon coming. And his reward is with him. You know this world is not your home. You are being detached in a very real sense from time. And you're living for eternity. Praise God. And you're about your Father's business. You're running this race today if you're living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Listen, when the first love is present in our hearts, we have a strong desire to serve and to please God, to incur His good favor, to express love by faithfulness and obedience is the highest order of our life. And we have a renewed desire to please God. And it will be a motive to motivate us to live and serve Him with enthusiasm. Praise God. We should run full out for this crown that is called the crown of righteousness. Living our life to please God in everything we do and everything that we say. Praise the Lord. Being right wise with God that we might hear our great King and Master and Savior say to us one day as we enter the gates to the heavenly city, "Welcome, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord." And the joy will start when we see Him and hear Him say, "Well done." If you are being persecuted today for your faith, there are many Christians around the world that are being persecuted. And by the way, you don't have to be in some foreign land that has banned the gospel and persecuting Christians who follow it. You can be persecuted right here in America. It will come not necessarily in a political way, but it will come through peer pressure where you work. It will come through your own family many times. If you're a servant of the Lord, and you have family members that are not serving God, Jesus put it this way. He said, "Think not that I've come to send peace on the earth." He's defining a particular peace, and that is the peace of no persecution, of everybody just loving you, of life running smooth. He said, no, I came to start a fight. I came to start a war down here. I came to come in conflict with the darkness and the God of this world. Make no mistake about it. Jesus said, "Think not that I've come to send peace to the earth," in that sense, but to bring a sword and to set at variance. And he said fathers and mothers will come in conflict over this. The dad and the mom will not see eye to eye because one is saved and one is not. Sons and daughters will not be on the same wavelength of their parents, and there will be conflict if the parents are saved and they're not, or if they are saved and the parents are not. One of the great events that happened just a few years ago in our congregation, two young girls, preteen girls, came down to pray for their mama, who was hopelessly addicted to drugs and who had become so emaciated that they thought she could not live. Her whole family thought she could not and would not live much longer. And those two young children came down and asked us to gather around them and pray for their mama. And it wasn't just a few weeks after that mama came with them to church and was gloriously saved, and we had the privilege of baptizing her in water, and she's going on with a life for God in church and serving God. Amen. This crown of righteousness, this crown that is given for following Jesus, is a crown worth running full out for. Praise God. And if you have lost that sensitivity today to serve God with everything you are and everything you have, I pray that you will be challenged by two things. Number one, that you will be challenged by the Apostle Paul's statement, "Surely there's a crown laid up for me. There's a reward going to be given." Praise God. And not me only, But all those that love His appearing, I want to remind you today, amen, that number one, God loves you so much He gave His Son, and we should love Him back enough to give Him our life of service. And I want you to know, let me quote that scripture. Our time is running. I'm aware that it's running here, but I don't want to miss these important points today. The great apostle Paul said, amen, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Hallelujah. It is very, very clear that Paul said the first and great incentive for living your life full out for God, running this race with enthusiasm and passion. Hallelujah. Amen. But keeping yourself unspotted from the world in the process is because of what He did for us at Calvary. Because of the great mercy that has been shown us. When God gave His Son and Jesus gave His life, He's simply saying, if you love Him back, if you do the only appropriate thing, the only requisite response to love and mercy like this, is to offer yourself the totality of your being, all that you are and all that you have, to Jesus in Christian service. That means to obey Him and to do whatever He commissions you to do for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And to do it with joy, because you're running out of a passionate devotion to Jesus Christ. And you're looking up. You're looking for the soon coming of Jesus. Praise God. Not only me, He said, is going to receive this crown, but everyone who loves His appearing. Because if you can't wait to see Jesus, believe me, friends, you're devoted to Him. If you're looking up and not looking at the things of this world, if your eyes are on the prize, hallelujah. If right now that you are heavenly minded, because you know this is where we're going to spend eternity. This world is not my home. The great Christian hymn of old said, this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. Ah, amen. In the epistle of Peter, it said that we are pilgrims and strangers. And Peter said, I beseech you, as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. Praise God. Friend, I want you to know that God wants us to be a people peculiar, separated unto Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Living our life with a different standard, with different values than the world about us. Because we're living for heaven's glory, heaven's gain. Hallelujah. We're not just in it for the earthly pleasure, the earthly gain. We're in it for something far beyond that. Everything down here is going to pass away. Scripture said we brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing. That means nothing of the world's substance out of this world. But we can go before God, and our works will follow us, and we will be rewarded. And part of that reward is the crown of righteousness. Literally, Christ saying to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. And before we go to the next crown today, I want to stop just for a few moments, and maybe we won't even get there. Time is quickly running. I want you to clearly understand today that the coming of Jesus Christ and our looking for that soon coming, in fact, our longing for the soon coming of Jesus Christ, is absolutely essential to a full-blown devoted life. I believe that. And I believe the lack of preaching and teaching on the second coming of Jesus people are not living Christian. Men and women, boys and girls are not living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus. Therefore, they're not living a life that is totally devoted to serve God. We're trying to grasp every pleasure and every purpose to obtain the things in this life that aren't going to matter the moment that He arrives. It just isn't going to matter whether you have achieved that great position at work or you've achieved this particular goal in life for your financial good or your... I'm not saying money's not important. God knows it's important. He knows what we have need of. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be people that achieve all we can, but we should do it all for the glory of God. And our greatest goal shouldn't be to become the rich and regal of this world, but to become, amen, people that God is pleased with. We're living for a higher purpose than to please ourselves or to please others. We're living as Christians to please the one who saved us and gave His life for us on the cross. Hallelujah. And we want to serve Him with everything we are, everything that we have. I beseech you, Paul said, in light of the mercy of God, He's pointing them directly to the cross and Jesus dying upon that cross. He said, you want an incentive to give your whole life to God? This is it. This is it. And the reward, part of the reward, other than the heavenly city itself, and our right to eat of the tree of life, to live eternally in that place forever, is to have this person who loved us this much, who we live to honor, to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Praise God. What a reward it will be to do something significant. Not to pay Him back. I could never pay Him back for all that He's done for me. Not in 1,000 lifetimes. But I can let Him know how deeply I appreciate what He's done for me at the cross. And I can let Him know by doing more than just singing a sentimental song to Him on Sunday morning in the worship service, but by walking out the door and not just give praise at an appointed time, but to live praise and gratitude in my whole walk and Christian life. Praise God. I'm looking for Jesus to come soon, and I want to be about my Father's business so that I can say with the great Apostle Paul, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course." Praise God. I've kept the faith, and surely, without any doubt, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not for me only, but all those who love His appearing, because they're going to be running full out just like me if they truly are looking for and longing for Jesus to come again. Praise God. Well, we love you today. Amen. If you're not a Christian today, I want to talk to you directly, distinctly right now. You can understand what Paul was talking about. You can understand what I'm saying, what other Christians are saying, why they get tears in their eyes when we mention the cross, why we have joy in our hearts at the very mention of His name, why heaven is the goal of our life. The grand goal is to live with Him, the place He's prepared forever. You can come to know Jesus Christ today, to know His love, to know His mercy, to know His grace. And today I pray that you will open your heart to Him, that you will repent of your sins, that you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, and that you will take that first step called salvation, and you will begin to run with us. Hallelujah. The race that is set before us, and surely we'll receive the crown of righteousness that He promised. Well, we love you today. Pray that prayer. Let us know that you prayed it. Come to our website. Leave us a message. Call the radio station and say, "I got saved today." They'd be so glad to know it. They know what we're talking about down at WMAF. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.
Come on.